Now we come to chapter 29, and actually the emphasis here now will shift to the kingdom. And this is the thing David had in mind in his dying day. In the center of that kingdom would be the temple, of course. Listen to this now, chapter 29. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation. Now, this is his deathbed. You'll recall that when old Jacob was dying, he called in his son. Remember when Moses reached the end of his life, he had a message for all 12 of the tribes. Now, David has a message for the kingdom now, and he's come to the end of his life. Listen to him. Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen. He makes it very clear that God did the choosing here, not David. He's yet young and tender. That means he's a sissy. That's what he was. He was inexperienced. Old David was a veteran, you see. And I think David was rather hard-boiled, friends. Gracious, generous man. But he could be hard-boiled. And this boy, Solomon, is not experienced at all. And he says, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Oh, the heart of David, my friend, putting God first. Verse 2, now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron. And I'll move down to verse 3, moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for his holy name. And then he mentions the amount of it here. It's a tremendous thing. He says the gold for things of gold, silver for things of silver. Be no stinting, no holding back. Then in verse 6, then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work, they offered willingly. Now, David gave everything he had to this. Now, there is a response on the part of the people. And they gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents. Then verse 9, then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. He gave, you know, with joy. My friend, there used to be a motto that said, give till it hurts. Well, the world may have that motto. That's not God's motto. If it hurts you to give, don't give. Give when it brings joy to your heart and life. Give hilariously, Paul says. And this was a time of great rejoicing, you see. Now we come to verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. Now here's David's great prayer. Listen to him. And he said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. He's the father of the nation Israel, you see, but not of the individuals. David never called him father. God said of David, David, my servant. That's very interesting. The law never made a son of God, only faith in Christ. We are sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, will you notice something here that may sound familiar to you? Verse 11, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that's in heaven and in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. You'll recall when the disciples asked the Lord to teach them to pray, he gave them a prayer. He took them right back here to David's prayer. And this is the thing that was in the heart of David, you see. Thy kingdom come. And this is the words of brevity and simplicity. And it gathers up the aspiration and hopes of centuries. It is today one of the greatest prayers in Scripture. It's the greatest prayer in the Old Testament, and it's all comprehensive. It's majestic, It's adoration, it's praise, it's thanksgiving, it's repudiation of all human merit, and it's all human dependence upon God, self-humiliation, it's confession, it's dedication of everything, admitting that they already belong to God. This is a glorious prayer. It recognizes that the kingdom is God's. This is a tremendous thing. Thine is the kingdom. This is where the Lord Jesus laid hold of this to teach his disciples. Now, the scripture concept of the kingdom is a kingdom that's eternal and it's temporal. It's universal and it's local. It's immediate and mediated. Generally speaking, I think it's just the reign of the heaven over the earth. You remember that when God created Adam, he gave him dominion. And now, what is the kingdom? Well, it's the rule of God over the earth. It means to restore God's rule. It's the recovery of the earth and bring it back under God's rule. And I hope that you don't think today that God's ruling in this world. You won't have the heartbreak. You won't have the tears. You won't have the disappointment. You won't have the wars. And this is the kingdom we should pray for. It will only come about in God's way. This will come about through divine protocol. And the divine aspects will be adhered to. Man will not be able to build this kingdom here on this earth. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can establish the kingdom. Thine is the kingdom. And I do not think what so-called Lord's Prayer is for public consumption. It's just not something to add to the ritual of a Sunday morning service. I personally believe that it's good for private devotion. Thine is the kingdom. That ought to be the prayer of every individual. This is a glorious way. David was looking to the coming of the kingdom here upon this earth. Now, verse 14, David says, "But who am I, and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and thine own have we given thee." The very interesting thing, you can't give God anything. He owns it to begin with. But he can bless you, and he will bless you. The reason some of us are so poor and narrow-minded and little is because we are not generous with God. God can only bless us when we open up our hearts. Listen to him. "O Lord our God, all this store that we've prepared to build thee a house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own." Oh, I wish I could stay here a week. This is wonderful. Now we read here verse 23, "Then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king instead of David his father and prospered, and all Israel obeyed him." Now listen to verse 26. "Thus David the son of Jesse reigned over all Israel. The time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron. 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. And Solomon, his son, reigned in his stead." This is the record that God has given. He wants you to know how he feels about David. Maybe you don't like David. God does. And I'm glad the Lord loved David and that the Lord dealt with David as he did, because David is so human. And I don't know about you, but Vernon McGee's very human. And I found out God will deal with him too, just as graciously and just as good. And the Lord is good. The Lord is wonderful. Oh, that we give praise to God. I can't build him a temple. But my friend, today we can offer the temple of the Holy Spirit, these bodies of ours, to him. Now, he doesn't get very much. That is when he gets me, but he's got me. My friend today. Oh, what joy it is. Be committed to him. Until next time, may God richly bless you.